Last week, I promised that we did. Last week, we talked about the vision of the church, and then this week, we're beginning on the mission. And so I promised I'd explain how in the world are we going to accomplish this big, broad vision and in the years to come. And if you weren't here last week, you can catch that online on our website, Hope Cane Bay, on the sermons page, and you'll see. You kind of have to look for it, but September 12th is on there. Anyway, this week we're beginning talking about the mission. We're going to talk, it's over the next 3 weeks, we'll look at the three parts of our mission statement. If you will, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, no problem. We have some very lovely volunteers who'd be happy to give you one. Just raise your hand, and they'd be happy to provide you one. If you don't have a Bible at home, it's our gift to you. Please take it with you. If you do have your Bibles, turn there. If you are getting one of those Bibles, it's on page 542. 542. The rest of you are on your own. You got to figure out where it's in your own Bible. But for them, it's 542. All right. Oh, okay. Let me introduce you to the passage while we're getting there. So this is the book of Acts. So the Gospels tell the story of Jesus. Jesus died. He resurrected. He went to heaven. And so then the book of Acts picks up there. And it tells the story of the early church. And so we're toward the end of that book, and we're also toward the end of Paul's life. It's a story about Paul. Paul stopped in this little place called Miletus, and Miletus is near Ephesus. That's important because he had been there for 3 years, a long time prior, and become very, very good friends. Raised up leaders in the church called elders, and so he's coming to visit them. He sends a messenger and says, hey, come to me at the docks, and I really want to see you. And that's what we're going to read today, is this conversation between him and the elders. The reason we're reading that is because it closely relates to the first of our three parts of our mission. So with no further ado, let us give our attention to God's perfect word. This is Acts chapter 20. We're going to begin in verse 17. It's such a long passage, and we'll skip over a few verses just because there's too much here to cover all of it. Also, you can follow along in your bulletin. The passage is on page 6. So you have it there. All right, so beginning with verse 17. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, so here's what he said. You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and affliction await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Skipping down to verse 31. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night and day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. And then skipping down to the end of verse 36. And so he finishes, and then it records this. When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of them all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. Thus far in God's word, let me pray. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this history that we would not know otherwise unless you had recorded in the book of Acts. And this conversation, this amazing relationship that Paul had with these elders from Ephesus. Lord, I pray as we look at it that you would not only help us understand the passage, understand what's there, but Lord, you would stir in our hearts a desire to have the same. Lord, that we would want that and long for that, and even that you would bring that about. Oh, Lord, I do, again, consecrate my lips and their ears for this good purpose. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. I want to share with you a recent story. An old friend from college found me on Facebook. So he friended me, and so I messaged him. We messaged back and forth, and we set up a time to talk on the phone. And so we're catching up. We talked for maybe 30, 45 minutes, and we talked about all kinds of stuff, his family and life, and I'm talking about my life, and it was great, you know, catching up with an old friend. So at the very end of the call, about to end, I said, hey, before we go, hey, how can I pray for you? I'd love to pray for you before we get off the phone. And there's a long pause. And he says, actually, my life is falling apart. I say, really? And so he goes on to share. I mean, just crazy things are going on in his life. I'm thinking, like, really? Like, we just talked this. Like, if we hung up right then, I never would have known that. We're going, oh, my old friend's doing great. Isn't that crazy? But now, I don't imagine any of you done something that extreme. But aren't we naturally very private about our private lives? It's an American thing. See, you probably have neighbors, right, that they pull in, they have a garage door opener, opens up, car goes in. You might even realize you have a neighbor, right? They're just in it. It might be you. Sorry if I just called you out. But, right, people, this is the way of suburbia, right? You don't have to talk to anybody. We pull in, we have, you know, our own lives. We're very separate. But that's not what we see here, is it? That's not what we see in the book of Acts. Kids, you can probably relate. Kids, have your parents ever asked you, honey, tell me about your day? Fine. What did you learn today? Nothing. Is there anything? Did you talk to anyone? I'm really tired. Can we not talk about it? You're laughing because it happens in your house. You know it. Why do you do that? Right? But parents, you aren't off the hook. We do it too. Right? It's natural. It takes work and energy, doesn't it? To share what's really going on, the kid that was unkind, the thing we're worried about. Okay, that's just with people, right? Now think about God. God's someone you can't see. We're doing this with people we look at, and we separate. How much more do people naturally do this with God? I don't know, teenagers, I don't know if you can relate with this. You're in a conversation, and the other people are just completely ignoring you, right? They're talking, and you're thinking, like, am I invisible? Like, they're not even acknowledging that I exist. It's really uncomfortable. Right? You might have been there. People call it feeling like you're a third wheel. Right? People do that with God. God is present at every conversation. Everyone. He's there. And often we go through life ignoring him, like he doesn't even exist. To think of God as a third wheel is a crazy thought, isn't it? Psalm 139 says this. You know, the psalmist is talking about God. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. He's watching you. He's there all the time. But listen to this, you discern my thoughts from afar. He knows your thoughts. You search out my path and my lying down. He sees you, acquainted with all my ways. Listen to this, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, you know it all together. I don't know if you've seen a movie where they have these little thought bubbles, whoop, and you know what they're thinking, right? And it's just kind of funny, like, whoop, and you know, right? And before the end of it, God is like that. I mean, right now, I can't see what you're thinking. He knows everything that every one of you, he's right here present. He knows my thoughts, your thoughts, what we're worried about. And so we're talking about the first of the three words is connect, if you hadn't figured it out yet. Connect. We want to connect with God, and then we want to connect with each other. And that's what we're going to see in this passage as we look at it. These are themes, and so it's just kind of all mixed up, right? We're just going to jump around and look for the themes. We're going to see three things. You can find the outline, as well as the passage, on page 6. So I'm a really big fan of just going, bouncing into the verses. So there's little numbers, and you can just follow along. If you want to take notes, you can, but you can see the outline. So connect to God through Christ first, connect to God through his word, then connect to one another through real friendships. So that's where we're going this morning. Let's begin with that first theme. Connect to God through Christ. All right, look at verse 21. Throughout this passage, Paul's going to talk about something called the gospel. Verse 21, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks. What's he testifying? Two things, repentance towards God and what? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance, not a word we use a ton. There's two parts of it, right? When you say you slap a sibling, and your parents say, you need to say you're sorry. I'm sorry I slapped you in the face. All right, so that's part of it, but it's not all of it. The second part is a turning from your actions, right? So if you do that and then you slap them again, that's not really repentance, right? Parents, nod your head, right? Kids, you should be nodding your head too, right? That's not really repentance. There's two parts of repentance. We need to tell God that we're sorry. Like, God, I know that I haven't obeyed your law. Will you forgive me? And then I genuinely desire to turn. That's repentance. So he's proclaiming repentance and what else? Faith. Faith is used in lots and lots of ways. I see this morning you are all people of faith. At least faith in your chairs. All of you estimated that that chair could hold you, and you placed your full weight on it. Am I not right? You are people of faith. We use faith all the time, from elevators to chairs, right? That we place our faith. And so when we receive and rest on Christ alone for our salvation, we are our confidence. Our weight is on Christ. Okay, so that's what he's proclaiming. That's the gospel, right? But he'll say it in other ways. Look at verse 28. At the end of it, he's talking about the flock, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God. All right, now let me give you a hint about Paul. Paul loves to, like, he's talking, and he, like, throws in these little gems. There's little, like, extra phrases where he's just going to give you some extra information. He didn't have to give it, but he's just going to give it. So you have to catch all those little phrases. Look at the phrase at the end. So the church of God, which he, God, obtained with his own what? Blood. Does God have blood? No. God's a spirit. He has no blood. How in the world is he going to purchase a church with his own blood? Well, we have to introduce you to something called the Trinity. So the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because they are so unified, you can say of one, of another. Jesus is the one with the blood. He's the one that died on the cross. God didn't. Right? But God, through Jesus, purchased us with his own blood. Isn't that neat? It's just hidden there. But you remember, if you were here last week, we talked about there's two illustrations. This is John 10. That Jesus is like the door of the sheepfold, and he's like the shepherd. And the only way to get through the door is through Jesus, and that's him dying on the cross, right? I am a selfish, and I'm sometimes anxious. I could give you a long list. You don't want to hear it. You have your own list, right? We all have sins in our hearts with our actions, and all of those have the death penalty, the Bible says. Okay, so we're all of Cain Bay is under a death penalty this morning. They don't realize it. That's what Scripture says, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. And so the gospel is that by his blood, Jesus went to the cross so that no one has to die for their sins, right? Anyone who places their faith in Christ does not die for sins. He died for them. Does that make sense? He's purchasing it, ransoming it with the purchase price of his blood. Okay, so that's the gospel again. You're connecting to God through Christ. If you don't get this, the rest of the sermon is worthless. This is really important. If you don't start here, you've got nothing else. So that's why we're starting here. All right. So, there's another way that we connect to God. Point two, connect to God through his word. Verse 20, look at this. So he said, I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. This is not a business profitable, this is not money. Anything that would be helpful or useful. And so Paul's saying, hey, when I was there 3 years, I never stopped from giving you anything. If there was something useful that I knew that I could give you from Scripture, I gave it to you. Paul was a man of the Word of God, not of his own wisdom. He says this many places. I aspire to be the same, not a man of any great eloquence, but just a man who brings the Word and says, here it is, here's what it says, here's what it means. Right? That's part of what we want to do as a church. The best way that I can help you is to realize that what's great on Sunday morning is not me, but the book that I hold. And you can hold it too, any other day you want, right? That's part of my goal. I want you to realize that how to read the Bible, how to understand it. If you have a study Bible, it gives you little hints. I use one too. It's great, right? That's part of what we are. The way you connect to God, first is in Christ, in the gospel, but then is in his word. You need his word. All right, he says more about it. Look at verse 25. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I've gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. What in the world does he mean by that? I'll explain in a second. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. All right, in the micro sense, in the small sense, the whole counsel of God can be found in the gospel. Right? We just said, if you don't get that, you got nothing. Right? Okay, so that's the essence of it. But there's also a lot of other things, right? This is a big book. There's all kinds of things. There's things about children and work and being a boss and being an employee and marriage and everything, right? Being a pastor, everything's covered. So he says, I gave him the whole counsel of God. There's one thing we put in place to hold my feet to the fire. It's called going through books of the Bible, right? So this first month, we're going to look at a few passages, and then we're going to jump into Philippians. The reason we're going to go through a book is because the Bible covers everything. And if I just go passage by passage, then I can't avoid anything. Eventually, we'll talk about everything. And so that's a way that, as a church, we can do that. That we'll look at chapter by chapter. Because there's a whole counsel of God. But did you catch what he said before? He said, the blood of none of you is how does he say it? He says, I'm innocent of the blood of all. Okay, this is a picture back to Ezekiel 33. You don't have to turn there. Short summary. God's talking to a prophet. He says, look, prophet, if you don't deliver the message I give you, you're like a watchman on a city wall. When the bad guys come, if the watchman doesn't blow the trumpet, everybody dies. Whose blood is there? It's on the watchman's head, right? You didn't warn us. Makes sense, right? Now, what if he blows the trumpet and everyone ignores him? Well, it's on their head. I warned you. You didn't run. Okay, and so he says, as a prophet, you just need to be faithful. And so Paul says, hey, look, I was faithful in Ephesus. I gave you the whole counsel of God. If you didn't listen, your blood is not on me. That's what he's meaning by that, okay? But part of our goal is to look at the whole counsel of God, both here on Sunday morning, on Tuesday night. You heard about missional communities. We'll talk more about those in a second. But we just want to look at the Bible and use that. And so it's one of the primary ways that you connect with God. It's what we're doing right this morning. We worshiped him, we prayed, but then we're hearing from God right now as we look at his word. But the reality is it's not just you that needs it. All of them need it, right? The primary way that Cane Bay is going to come to know about Christ is no like genius thing you can say. It's the word of God. And so trying to connect people to the Bible is part of what we want to do, so that they too can live full and abundant lives. Remember, that's part of our vision. Our vision is that we would have full lives in Christ, you know, be found in Christ alone and help many others experience the same. That happens in the context of the Word of God. If we go down to verse 32. And now I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace. Okay, that's the Bible, isn't it? But what does it do? Which is able to build you up. Now we're stealing from next week. So this is just a little sneak peek. The Bible is able to build you up to two things. Look at the rest of the verse. To give you an inheritance. Well, that's the future. When you die and go to heaven, you have an inheritance. Right? Christians are blessed in heaven. But then it says, to all those who are sanctified. It's a big Bible word. If you don't know it, don't worry about it. It just means people who are being cleaned. Okay? That God, once God saves you, I'm in this process too. If you know me, you'll find out, right? That slowly God is changing us more and more and more like Christ, okay? So that's the now. This word of grace is able to build you up, and it will slowly change you, and then you also get an inheritance. Word of God's pretty cool, isn't it? So how are we going to accomplish this big vision? It begins as we connect people to Christ, and then we connect them to his word, as you connect through his word. Okay, this is the how. We're answering the how over these 3 weeks. Oh, but there's more. It's not only God that he wants to connect you to. It's each other. So third and finally, connect to one another through real friendships. What do we learn? Paul was there 3 years. What was his ministry like? We know the outcome of it. Look at the end with me again. 36 to 38. Whatever he did those 3 years, it produced this. And when he said to them these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. Do you weep with people that you don't really care about? Nope. And if you've been to summer camp, right? Many times the end of summer camp ends with tears, right? Because we just had so much fun, we're going to see each other again. It's like after a week. And so he spent 3 years with them. And they're all weeping. They're embracing him. They're kissing him. Not an American thing, but it was then. If you're French, funny story. So my French uncle, I'm part French. So you get introduced to all kinds of things. He kisses me on the cheek, the worst breath I've ever smelled in my life. It was a cultural moment, but hey, that's what you get for being part French. Anyway, sorry, that wasn't even my notes. It's a free bonus. Anyway, so they really love each other, and they're embracing each other. They're following the boat. They're like, we want every last second with you. Now, how in the world did this come about? Okay, so now look back at the passage and see if we get any clues. Verse 18. He says, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time. Well, it's good for them. We weren't there, so we have no clue. I'm glad you know how he lived. Okay, so keep going. All right, look at verse 20. He says, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. We already looked at that part, but look at the last phrase. And teaching you in public. So we're doing this morning, we're in public. And from house to house. You know, I'm not expecting any of you to raise your hand this morning and ask me any questions. It's just not really normal in this setting. If you did, I'd probably answer it, but it's not. But in a house, oh, well, that's very comfortable, right? Say, on Sunday, I had no clue what you were talking about on your third point. And we could talk about it, right? And so Paul went house to house. And so a church ministry in America, unfortunately, we like to compartmentalize things. And for some, church means like a Sunday event. And then maybe you'll add in like a Bible study. And so then you're in someone's house. But there's no real relationships. Relationships are formed in homes. Has anyone ever been at your dinner table? Have you ever been at anyone else's dinner table with another Christian? And you're just getting to know them. I love doing it. I encourage all of you. This is what Paul did, and it produced this. They didn't just meet for services. They were in each other's homes. All right, let's keep looking. What else do we see here? Verse 31. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night and day to admonish everyone with tears. So when did they hang out? Daytime and nighttime. Right, so their fellowship would extend into the night. Have you ever hung out with friends late into the night, whether you're sitting on a dock in Cane Bay, just hanging out, relaxing, whether you're talking about something serious, whether you're having a real heart-to-heart conversation? Paul did this. There's a cost to that, right? You had to get up and go to work the next day. You had to get up and get your kids off. Right? But for Paul, it was important enough that he would not just do, hey, it's a 9 to 5, I'm sorry, I'll see you tomorrow. Right? That he was involved in their lives, both in the day and the night. And with tears, he really, really cared about them. I don't know if any of you ever heard of a 3 a.m. friend. A 3 a.m. friend. So someone introduced me to this idea. And the idea is simply this, that do you have a friend that if at 3 a.m. your life's falling apart, that you could like pick up the phone and call and they would pick up? That you would feel comfortable and they would feel comfortable saying, like, hey, for most people, like, I'll talk to you tomorrow. But for you, you're like my closest friends. I have a couple friends like that. Well, you know what's really cool is everyone should make a friend on the other side of the earth. I have a friend who lives in Singapore, and so I have one friend that's, I mean, these guys would get up in the night for me as well, but during the nighttime, I can text him, and I have a friend in Georgia. But many of you are growing in friendships like that. I can't be all of your 3 a.m. friend, or you won't have a pastor, because I'm going to be dead. He'll be up at 3 a.m., but you need to make friends like that with each other. You need to make relationships that there's such a level of trust that day or night, do problems only happen during the day? Some of the worst problems happen at night, right? And you need each other to lean on. One of our 5 core values, we have this really nice little card, and that Vistaprint said they're going to have to us by Friday. As you can see, Vistaprint doesn't have it to us. So next week, I have a nice card for you. But it has our core values, our mission, our vision. One of our core values is true friendships. True friendships. It says this beside it. We enjoy being authentic and vulnerable as we love and encourage one another. We enjoy being authentic and vulnerable. This is what happened to them, didn't it? There was a real friendship. We see it at the end based on how they feel about each other, but we see it even in the text as he was with them day and night, as he was with them house to house as well as in public. I was writing this sermon at Church of Cane Bay. They let me use their offices. And there was an AA meeting. So Alcoholics Anonymous in the next room. So every once in a while I'd hear cheering and clapping. And I was just thinking about that right as I was writing this. And I thought, you know, one of the, I think, the, I've never been in it, I never will be in it, but that one of the attractions of it, I think, is that there's this camaraderie, right? Like, hey, we're all, hey, my name's Johnny and I'm alcoholic, right? Just, there's this openness and vulnerability and that we're all in this together. Isn't that attractive? I think it is, and I think that's one of the attractions of it. It doesn't have to be an AA meeting. On missional communities on Tuesday night, we spend about an hour having a snack, reading the Bible, studying it, giving some announcements. But then we do this. The last 30 minutes, prepare yourself, we split the men and the women, and we actually share what's really going on. And so I'll share, and then the guy sitting beside me will pray for me. What's going on at home or at work, what I'm anxious about, what I'm excited about, and we just go around the room. Now, that might sound completely terrifying to you. Ask anyone that's in one of the groups, and it's not. It's wonderful. It's just like the AA group, right? We're safe. Like, we all got problems, and we're just going to lean on. And over time, we get to celebrate that God answers some of those prayers. And the women are doing the same thing in the other room. We always joke, we see who finishes first. Last time, the ladies finished before us. I'm not sure how they pulled it off, but they did somehow. There's two pictures that I want you to think about. And what we want to be like as a church. One is a bar, and the other is a hospital. Bear with me. Please let me explain. Don't tune me out now and just quote me on that, please. All right. So a bar. Many people go to the bar, and they just feel safe to sing their woes in their beer, to share, like, hey, this is going terrible. Here's all the ways my life is messed up. It's just, it's a safe, generally, unless they're looking for a date, that's it. Throw that category out. The other folks, right, are just, it's a place you can be real. Should church not be like that, friends? Church should be like that. A place that maybe you won't do it on Sunday morning. Maybe you'll do it on Tuesday night. Maybe you'll do it on the phone. Maybe you'll do it at my house over dinner or yours. Right, but, and then the other is a hospital. We pray for people that work in the hospital. I'm very thankful for them. When you go to the hospital, you go to the doctor, do you walk in and say, hi, everything is great in my life. Here's my copay. No. You're like, I hurt right here, and here, look at this. You're like, I mean, it's a pretty vulnerable thing, right? You're exposing yourself. You're exposing all your weaknesses because you're, by golly, you're getting your money's worth out of that copay, right? And so we want to be like a hospital, a place. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 2. The Jews question the disciples and say, why does he, being Jesus, eat with tax collectors and sinners? You see what's happening? They're saying, like, why is the holy man eating with all the lowlife? We don't think this is right. And Jesus heard him and he said to them this, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. You see what he's saying there? He's saying, good, healthy people don't need doctors. I'm a doctor. I came here for sick people. If you think you're righteous, you don't need me. But those who are sinners, those who are broken, that's who Jesus came for. All right, so let's review what we looked at this morning. We looked at three things. What happens when a person connects to God through Christ? Well, mainly he's saved from his sins, right? He's now reconciled to God. Something new began. There's communication that wasn't it. God had been the third wheel for a long time, right? And now they're beginning to talk to him as they go through their days. And so, but how do they hear from God? They hear from God through his word. He's spoken. He's spoken a lot. Right? And so part of our job here this morning is to help you understand. Not all of it is equally easy to understand. It's a part of our job is to understand it. And that will lead to a more full and abundant life as you connect to God through Christ and through his word. Then what do we learn thirdly? What happens when people connect together in real friendships? Well, their life continues to be more full. We all, what is the expression? Misery loves? Right. No one wants to suffer alone. And so when we can suffer together, when we can celebrate, who wants to celebrate alone, right? We want to celebrate, have people that rejoice with the cool things happening in our lives. That naturally happens. I want to look at one last verse from this passage before we close. It was right in the middle. It was verse 24. See if you can find that. And here's what I want to look at this. Again, this is foreshadowing the weeks to come. And I want to answer this question. Okay, so you say you've connected to God in Christ, you've connected to his word, right? And then you've connected to each other. What happens in a person's life when all that happens? So this is like the disclaimer, the warning, right? So in the military, do they say like, hey, come join the military? It's going to be like a cruise. We're gonna have so much fun. They don't say that, do they? They say, hey, this is like the hardest job in the world, but it's worth it. Right? They're up front. People don't join the Marines because they're like, hey, this sounds like a lot of fun. It's gonna be like a vacation. Because they think, hey, this is worthwhile. I know this is gonna be really, really tough. And so if you listen to what I'm saying, if you actually did this stuff, it's gonna mess with your life. See, look at what it did to Paul's life. Look at 24. He says, but I don't want to count my life of any value as precious to myself. Those are bold words, Paul. He said, if only I may finish my course, using the picture of like a runner in a race. He says, God's got me on a race. I want to finish it. Man, that's what I care most about, finishing what God has given me to do and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel. Those houses and the people in them need the gospel of the grace of God. It got inside with Paul, and it messed with him so much so that it changed the whole direction of his life. But I say this is exciting. This is way more exciting than just like living for yourself. It's really boring. If you're just doing that, I guarantee this life is way, it's not easier. It's like 10 times harder than that kind of life. But it's way more fun. It's way more interesting. And the best part is that it's what God wanted. It's God. He's watching the whole time. He's got a course for us to run. Oh, I want to run it myself. And I hope that you guys will as well. Our mission, the first line says, connect to God and the body of Christ. And so as I leave you, there, the body of Christ, some of you are like, that means nothing to me. God, I didn't plan this, but Brandon did a great job kind of greasing the skids here. You heard him talk about the body of Christ when he prayed this morning. So I see all of you are very well connected. All of your body parts seem very attached to the rest of them. And so it uses this picture of, are you connected to everyone else, though? Scripture here, so 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, for just as the body is one, and has many members, but all the members of the body, okay, so he's saying your body has lots of parts, but it's one. The members, I'm sorry, I'm stumbling here. Though many are one body, just as with Christ. He's saying, you're like a body, and you should be as connected to each other as you are to the limbs of your body. Do you get that picture? That's why we say that. Our mission is to connect you to God and to connect you to the body of Christ. Whether you want, if you're a Christian, you are part of the body, whether you're amputated or not. And so we would kind of like to get you reconnected if you are amputated. Authentic friendships are an incredible blessing. And so I'm thankful this is only a third of our mission. There's a lot more. This is not going to accomplish our vision, just this part. There's more to come in the next 2 weeks. I pray that you'll come back and that you'll see what else is there. So we're all connected. We're having a great time together. We're leaning on each other. Is that gonna accomplish it? No. There needs to be more. That's what the next 2 weeks you're going to look at. My prayer is that you would connect to God, that what we've looked at this morning would sink into your hearts. My prayer is that you really would take risks with each other. It's going to be messy, but it's absolutely worth it. I've been doing this in my life, and I need this. You need this. May we all have this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I have absolutely no confidence in my words, but I have a ton of confidence in your words. They just heard your word. Lord, I pray you promise that it will always accomplish what you desire it to, like rain that comes down. It has no choice but to water the earth, and stuff's just going to grow. That's what you said about your word, that whenever it goes out, it always accomplishes what you desire. I pray that it would. Lord, to their encouragement, I know that they need friends. I know that they need your word. I know that if they don't know Christ, that is their greatest need of all. Lord, I pray that this would connect, your word would connect with their hearts. We pray not for our sake, but for your glory, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.